Good morning.
Good morning.
We've got two scripture readings this morning. The first one comes from Psalm chapter 46, verses 7 through 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And the second scripture reading is from John chapter 4, verses 20 through 24. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. I am delighted to be here this morning to share with you. I have just enjoyed so much speaking at different churches on our district. And so I was delighted when Susan called and asked if I could come today. Before we hear our message, let's have a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we feel your presence in this place. We know that you dwell in us, the Holy Spirit, as part of who we are. So, Lord, open those floodgates, open our hearts, help us to receive your word today as we worship and praise you, dear Lord. Amen. For 31 years, I was a school teacher, and I was accustomed to taking roll. Of course, I don't need to do that in church this morning. I see all of you are physically here, but your body is warming the pew, but where are you? Are you thinking about the Pro Bowl game this afternoon? Are you thinking about what you're going to have for lunch? Are you thinking about the homework that you've put off doing until this afternoon or evening? Are you thinking about what's on your to-do list for tomorrow? Or that you need to add toothpaste and peanut butter to your grocery list? You'll forget between now and then, so go ahead and write it on your bulletin. Are you tweeting just a little, nobody will notice? Some might even take a little nap between the hymns and the final amen. Yes, our bodies are here this morning, but are we present? But the bigger question is, are we present in our Christian journey, or are we just drifting along and going through the motions? If you have joined the Methodist Church and taken membership vows, it said that we would support the church, which is the body of Christ. We are that body, with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service. And in 2008, the words witness were also added. If we haven't joined the Methodist Church, we still are Christians, and we need to be present in our lives, demonstrating the love of Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to concentrate on presence. Have you ever been in a conversation that where there was a physical presence, but not a mental or emotional one? And in other words, the person you were talking to wasn't paying attention. If you're married or have children, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So how does that relate to presence in a worship service and in our Christian lives. Well, we're here, and I'm assuming we're here to praise God, to experience God, to hear the word from God and learn from it and put it into practice. In Isaiah 29:13, we read, "These people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me. And their worship of me is a human commandment learned by rote." Oh, that hurts. The Message paraphrase reads like this: "These people make a big show of saying the right thing, but their hearts aren't in it because they act like they're worshiping but don't mean it." I hope that doesn't describe us. Our second lesson, and one we heard earlier this morning, takes place at a well in the heat of the day. Jesus is talking about the Samaritan woman who was there to draw water, because at that time of day, she could go and not be harassed by the Jewish women who came to the well. And she was a curious woman, and she asked Jesus, because she recognized him as a prophet, why Jerusalem was the place to worship. The Samaritans believed that Mount Gerizim was the place and not Jerusalem. And as a paraphrase, she asked Jesus, "Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that place that we must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus told her, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father at neither place. You Samaritans worship what you do not know, and we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and now come, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshiper the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth." Jesus said this to the woman twice: those who worship God must do so in spirit and in truth. Let me ask you, how many times a day do you repeat yourself? If it's important, sometimes it needs to be said more than once. There's an old adage that says a wife talks twice as much as her husband. She has to, because her husband wasn't listening the first time. And if you teach school, if you're with children, you know you have to repeat yourself over and over. And Jesus repeats himself over and over to us in spirit and truth. I take that to mean worshiping God with the right attitude or frame of mind and for the right reasons. We need to be present in order to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit, and to allow the Spirit to speak to us and transform us through worship. We don't talk very much about the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is in us and is ready to speak to us at all times. And we know when we have heard. We know when we hear from the Holy Spirit. We are guided. We're giving nudges. When we are in our prayers and in scripture reading, we hear from the Holy Spirit. Now, when you come to church, granted, not every service will speak to you, but God's presence is there in the hearts of the believers. But that doesn't happen just at church. We have opportunities and the privilege to worship every day and to offer prayers of thanksgiving and supplication. Let me give you an example of being somewhere but not really being present. My late husband, Ken, and I would occasionally attend high school football games. Ken loved football, and he coached football and followed it religiously. On any given Saturday in the fall, he would be watching a game on TV and have two radios on listening to other games. I, on the other hand, would watch the television for a few seconds, maybe 5 minutes, if I was trying to spend time with him. I did listen for the final score, and I tried to read something on the sports page each day so I could at least know a few names and what was happening in the sports world so I could share some of Ken's interests. As you can tell, I'm not a fan of the game. I'm not even sure who's heading to the Super Bowl, and I had to Google to see if there was a game being played this afternoon in my opening paragraph of the message. On Friday nights, we would sometimes attend a high school football game, and I would have been counted present if anyone was taking attendance. I watched all the people it takes to make the event work. I sympathized with the teachers and the parents who had worked all day but had come to the school to work the gates and the concessions. I watched the administrators walking around, talking to people. I saw parents cheering on their kids. Some people were really getting excited and screaming and whooping it up. I would see lots of our church family and at the games, and I love seeing our young people engaged and band and playing ball and just being with friends. Everybody is present. Almost everybody. Most people were feeling excited and joyful. And there I sat with a smile plastered on my face, looking at my watch as the bleacher gets colder and harder. I had a hard time keeping up with who had the ball and what just happened. And Ken would whisper to me what he thinks the next play should be and what needs to be done. And I would just nod my head. My feet are cold. The bleacher is hard. My neck is getting stiff. But I'm there. My ticket has been paid for. And I'm taking up a place in the bleachers. But I'm not present. I went to the games to be with my husband, to show support for the home team and to visit with folks, but not for football. We might have even dropped a few dollars into a bucket for a fundraising event. The next morning, the newspaper shows photos from the previous night's game, and Ken would say, "Oh, remember we saw that play?" "Uh-huh, I remember, sure." It hit me one evening that perhaps that's what it's like for some to go to church. They come to please a spouse or to bring the children. They come to visit and network. They might even drop a few dollars in the offering plate. They can't tell you anything about the service except they didn't like the songs and the service lasted too long. But they were at church. That counts for something. I know that's not the way it is here. I have never understood our culture's fascination with athletes and movie stars. People get so excited to be in their presence. There was a woman who entered a Häagen-Dazs store in Kansas City, and she ordered her ice cream cone, and she made her selection and got her ice cream, and she had paid for her ice cream, and as she turned around, there stood Tom Hanks, who was in the city for a filming job. Just seeing him made her knees buckle. She was so excited, and she did manage to pay for her ice cream, and as she headed out the store, her heart was absolutely pounding, and she regained her composure, and she realized she must have left her ice cream at the store. And so she started back in, and she met Tom Hanks as he was coming out the door. And he said, "Are you looking for your ice cream cone?" And she nodded, unable to speak to him. He says, "You put it in your purse with your change." So when was the last time that God quickened our pulse? Made your knees buckle, filled you with awe, and just complete and utter joy. A joyful spirit adds a new dimension to worship. We heard joyful spirits this morning singing and playing music. And as we leave this place each Sunday, we're to take that joy out with us. We're to take hope out with us into the community. Loving God means that we love and care for each other. And as Christians, we're called to be in ministry to the world, and in doing so, to have a purpose, a goal. We have plans for our money. We have plans for our time off from work. We have plans for the weekend. We have plans for our children and plans for retirement. What are our plans for our spiritual selves? An intentional Christian serves Christ by working in a closer relationship with Him. Ordained clergy cannot be everywhere in all the places that we can as laity. It's us who meets the world daily, and we must have a reason, and we must be equipped to give a reason for the hope that we have for eternal life and the assurance that we are forgiven of our sins. It's the laity who can share what God has done in our lives. We have to live our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ. We must be the examples of the love of God to all. This is especially true in this polarized climate that we're living through right now. We must constantly be on guard to not be the critical Christian, the one whose purpose is to find fault with everyone, but the one who shows how they love Christ by living toward perfection. Going toward perfection doesn't mean we'll be perfect, but going toward perfection means that we are going to live more like Jesus Christ. There are examples in the Bible about how we can walk the walk and talk the talk. You remember Miriam composed a song and sang and danced because God had delivered the Hebrews through the Red Sea. And David danced as the Ark of the Covenant was brought home. Unfortunately, his wife didn't think very highly of his response. Wise men journeyed long distances to worship a king, and Mary washed Jesus' feet with expensive nard. The early church met in homes to worship and to share the Lord's Supper. These people were worshiping in the presence of God. They felt His presence, and they were joyful. They were showing their love and their gratitude, and we do the same. I know that this church goes a long way in showing that love by your food pantry on Monday evenings, and the suppers that you have that are open to everyone, and many, many other ways that I don't know about. You have no doubt heard about the wife starved for her husband's attention and says to him, "How come you never say you love me anymore?" And he replies, "I told you on the day we got married that I loved you, and if I ever changed my mind, I would let you know." Is that the way we are with God? Are we present in our relationship with Him? Are we holding back? Are we letting it ebb away? I remember attending a high school class reunion in Southwest Virginia. The people I graduated with looked old and gray and wrinkled and overweight. Some were hobbling around on bad knees or were hunched over from carrying a heavy life's burden. I'd lost contact with some of my good friends that I had had in high school, and it was good to get reacquainted that evening. We had grown apart and lived separate lives. We never communicated. The main reason we lost out on our years of friendship is that we were not present in each other's lives. We never talked or sent emails or letters, or we never visited. That can happen with us and our relationship with God as well. Let us be confident in who we are as children of God. Our self-assurance that God's presence is with us. In order to do that, we must practice the presence of God in our lives, not just in church, But by enjoying the presence of God, we are able to support the body of Christ, not only in worship, but in our discipleship, being in genuine presence with Jesus Christ. So let's review. We have promised that we will support the body of Christ with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service. And on this last Sunday in January 2020, it's not too late to renew our efforts and to live into our vow in new and exciting ways. You may have been a follower of Jesus Christ for all of your life, but there's always a new and exciting way to serve. Help us, dear Lord, to step out in faith and expand what it means to be present with Christ, to find ways to use the gifts, and we all have gifts. Maybe none of us have the same gifts, but to use those gifts to the glory of God. When we live the will of Christ, we're going to find joy and peace to help us get through the difficult times of life, even difficult times in church life. We will be prepared to help others by living as closely to Christ and being in his presence as possible. So when the roll is counted, I want to be present. Don't you? Amen. So if you will pray with me. Heavenly Father, we just pray that we will find ways to be present as Christians, that we don't stay where we are, but we find a new road. And sometimes that is scary. Give us the courage. Help us to be bold Christians, that we are about your work as the body of Christ. Help us to live into that. Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful time of sharing and worshiping and seeing the possibilities that you offer to us. Help us to carry out your commission to the world and to make disciples of others who are looking, who are hurting, and need to know your joy and your peace. Dear Lord, thank you for this time together. In your precious name we pray. Amen.